This podcast is about the finest hours, the true story of a heroic sea rescue, written by Michael J. Tugius and Casey Sherman. It took place off the coast of New England on February 18, 1952. Finest Hours is an incredible story that is in the process of becoming a major motion picture. It is about two massive oil tankers that were delivering oil to ports along New England that were caught in one of the biggest, largest storms in history. Keep in mind that while the events are unfolding, the ships are, relatively speaking, close together, only under 45 miles apart. Now, picture this. You are on a ship in the most peaceful conditions possible. Everyone is having a great, jolly old time, and there are no problems in the world. Well, that is exactly what did not happen. Now, picture the complete opposite. The waves hitting up to 65 feet, rain pouring nonstop buckets, and one of the largest hurricanes in history. And also two T2 tankers splitting in half right down the middle of said hurricane. That's more like it. The accident was extreme and dangerous. It would have made the Titanic proud. This story doesn't only describe the perspective of the sailors on board the ship, but also the rescuers, or the Coast Guard, because believe it or not, some of them had it even harder than the people on board the ship. Alright, now that you have a picture of the story in your head, let's begin. The first ship to die was the Pendleton. 103-foot, 10,448-ton oil tanker carrying, who would have thought, oil from Louisiana to Boston. The tanker's full name was T2SEA1. Yes, the letter T, the number 2, the letter S, the letter E, the letter A, and the letter 1. But everyone just called it a T2 tanker. These types of ships were built very hastily for the war efforts. And this tanker was carrying a total of, drumroll please, 122,000 bottles of kerosene. Now, the two words I'm going to need you to remember are bow and stern. The bow is the front of the ship, and the stern is the back half of the ship. Those two words are used a ton in this story, and I will be also using them a ton. So just be prepared for a ton of talk about ship parts. Also be prepared for the fact that not everybody was rescued in this event. Many people died and lost their lives. So, as I was saying, the Pendleton sank first. It wasn't that big of a surprise because these ships were known for and had a little bit of a reputation for spinning apart. But the ship thankfully was prepared because unlike the famous ship, the Titanic, the ship was prepared and designed so that when water flowed into one room, it was trapped in that room and couldn't get into any other rooms, and it stalled the sinking process. Emphasis on the stalled, because it did not stop, it stalled. Eventually, the ship would sink, but it would have probably over 10 hours before it did sink, which is good. It's progress. The Pendleton was commanded by a man named Captain John J. Fitzgerald, Jr. He was new to the ship, but not to the weather. And the hurricanes ripped his tanker right down the middle. Starboard to port, or left or right. The second ship to die was the also 503-foot oil tanker, the Fort Mercer, which was, you guessed it, carrying oil from Louisiana to Maine. The captain of the Fort Mercer was Captain Prazel. When the ship split, Captain Prazel was stuck on the bow of the ship. The East Wind was the rescue cutter, manned by the Coast Guard, trying to save the Fort Mercer. The Coast Guard was in contact with the Fort Mercer. They were very far away from it. Thankfully, they sent a plane overhead to scout the whereabouts of the ship, because only then did they spy the Pendleton. They didn't spy the Pendleton earlier because when the Pendleton split, the only phone that they had on the Pendleton, or means of contacting anyone or sending SOS, was stuck in the Z Watcher. It was having a little bit of a swim. When the Coast Guard got word that there was a second ship, they were surprised out of their minds. But then they came to their senses and launched a rescue mission for the second ship. The Coast Guard sent out a little, tiny, 36-footer lifeboat, alright? So the Coast Guard sent out the lifeboat, and the lifeboat had a very hard time getting offshore because it was so small. And whenever it rolled over, which it rolled over sometimes, the engine would shut off, so they had to get that back up and working. But when it finally got off, they'd been trying for 4 hours or so, so they had very little time on their hands. The plugathon, they were trying to keep themselves together by using the motor to keep the halves close together. So, and most of the people were on the stern of the plugathon. Anyways, so they drove the lifeboat up to the side of the plugathon, which took a while because, like I said, the waves are very high. So there was a small little ladder that the crew could climb down to, and then it was about, I would say, 15 feet from them in the boat, unless the waves lifted the boat up, in which they had to time it and try to jump on the boat. Then the lifeboat would be about 2 feet away. So the crew, they tried to time it, to time the jump from the ladder onto the lifeboat. Everybody made it. All 32 people made it, except for there were 33 people on the boat. One of the people did not make it. He was the only one who didn't make it. He jumped off the boat and he tried to land on the boat, but he missed it and he got crushed in between the lifeboat and the plugathon. Like I said, this not everybody made it, and he was one of the casualties. But overall, it was decently successful because they didn't even expect to get anyone off. At about the same time, the people on the East Wind were trying to launch their own rescue mission on the Fort Mercer. The people on the East Wind couldn't get close to the Fort Mercer because the waves would push the two boats into each other, killing everybody on board both boats. So they had an idea of sending rafts out and tying them all together and sending them out to the side of the Fort Mercer. Their idea was that the crew members on the Fort Mercer could jump off onto the rafts and float safely back to the East Wind. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case because with all the rain and hail and the 60-foot waves made it almost impossible to make the jump. But three brave souls tried, but when they hit the water, the shock of impact and how cold the water was made it impossible to swim, and unfortunately, all three of them perished.
There were only four people left on the fractured bow of the Mercer. Captain Prazel, Purser Edward Turner, Third Mate Vincent Golden, and the First Mate, Willard Farner, huddled together for warmth. They were quite in shock of the events that had just happened before their eyes and of the other three crewmates who had just lost their lives in the storm. The Captain Knapp of the East Wind decided that it was safest to wait till dawn when he thought there'd be a better chance of less sleet so he could navigate the East Wind closer into the fractured bow of the Mercer. At dawn, Captain Knapp was thankful that the sleet had, in fact, come to almost a stop, but not quite a stop. The waves were only hitting up to 45 feet now, so the Captain Knapp decided to launch another rescue attempt. He did not want to be the man who let these men down. Inside the bow of the Mercer, an argument broke out on which man would jump first. Captain Prazel, he wanted to jump last because he was the captain and he thought it was only right that he were the last one to jump. But he had an injured foot and was suffering from frostbite, so his crew said they would not leave unless he jumped first because they were all worried about him. Captain Knapp's plan was that he would send a lifeboat out from the East Wind to the Fort Mercer, which was, it would be about roughly the same size as the one that rescued all those people from the Plague-a-thon, which would be about 36 feet. And so his plan was that he would send the lifeboat out close to the side of the Fort Mercer so that the people from the Fort Mercer could jump off the Fort Mercer and hopefully land on or near the lifeboat. He would have five people on the lifeboat ready to pull anyone who didn't make it on the lifeboat up. The only concern was that while it was dangerous, waves were still hitting about 40 to 45 feet, so he didn't only have to worry about the people on the Fort Mercer, but also his own crew, which he was sending out in dangerous waters. And now a word from our sponsors. Oh, sorry, we don't have any sponsors, I forgot. So Captain Prazel reluctantly did jump first, but he waited for the perfect time when the lifeboat was raised up by the waves just right next to the boat so he could jump. It wasn't a clean jump though, and he landed in the water somewhat close to the lifeboat, but probably about 5 feet away. The crew of the lifeboat did manage to pull him up though, although the water that drenched his clothes and his life jacket made, doubled his weight, which took three men from the lifeboat to pull him up, and it almost capsized the lifeboat. Captain Prazel and Turner were the only two to make it onto the lifeboat, because when the two made it onto the lifeboat started capsizing. They couldn't take the other two onto the lifeboat. There was too much weight, so they had to go back to the East Wind and try something else. The genius plan Captain Knapp came up with was to have the yacht, which was a smaller boat deployed from the East Wind, come up closer than the East Wind could get to the fractured bow of the Fort Mercer. Once it was up near the fractured bow of the Fort Mercer, it would shoot what they called it a messenger line. It was basically a harpoon attached like a cable. They would shoot it into the side of the Fort Mercer. And they would have a small lifeboat in between, like attached to the line, but in between the yacht and the Fort Mercer. That's because the yacht can't get too close to the Fort Mercer without high risk of it, of the yacht crashing into the Fort Mercer. So they use the smaller boat attached to the cable to get in close where the yacht couldn't. Hopefully, what would happen, in theory, is the crew members would slide, the last two crew members would slide down the cable onto the small little raft, and the yacht would put its engines in reverse and detach, which basically yank away the cable. Now, the only problem with this was, is that they didn't know where the cable would be yanked away from. The cable could be yanked away from the Fort Mercer, which is good, and then they would drag the small lifeboat back to the yacht. But the cable could also be yanked away from the small little lifeboat, which would result in the lifeboat gliding out to sea, and they could do nothing to stop it. So basically, it was a 50-50 chance on the crew surviving or dying. Thankfully, though, the crew members made the slide down to the, both of them made the slide down to the small little raft. Captain Nav was hesitant on putting the engines in reverse because, like I said, 50-50 chance if the crew members survived or died. The crew members didn't know what was happening, so they were just waiting for something to happen. Captain Nav finally made the decision to go for the 50-50 chance. They put the engine in reverse, the boat started going backwards, and thankfully the line broke on the Fort Mercer. So they then pulled with the line that was still attached to the little lifeboat, pulled the little lifeboat back in onto the the yacht, and then they rowed back to the East Wind. It was a very successful mission, since nobody, except for the first three people on the first attempt, died. All four crew members were saved. Right after they got everybody off the boat of the Fort Mercer, the Fort Mercer sank into the water. So, just after 14 minutes after they had rescued everybody and gotten everybody off. So they rescued the crew members just in time. Unfortunately, there was still a part sticking up over the water. So basically the front of the ship was still visible for about a foot. And, well, that was bad because other ships could run into it. So what they did was they had three big guns full of depth charges and then one rifle. So they took the rifle and they added something on it so that it could shoot depth charges. Now that was very hard to shoot, and the person who ended up firing it got shot back onto the boat and hurt his leg, sprained his leg. But what they did was they started discharging and firing all of the rifles, and eventually the depth charges blew up the ship and the ship sank to the bottom. So that was the end of the bow of the Fort Mercer. Now on to the stern of the Fort Mercer. Yep, we've only gone halfway through the Fort Mercer. The stern of the Fort Mercer still had people on it. Thankfully, the only reason the people didn't capsize like the boat did is because they still had power. They had an engine on the back of the boat, which kept them afloat, thankfully. The East Wind made its way from the bow of the Mercer to the stern of the Mercer. It positioned itself, so eventually the stern of the Mercer would run into the East Wind, but before that happened, they were hopefully going to have all the people on board the East Wind and off of the Mercer, and they would speed away. They deployed a net off the side of the east wind, so hopefully when the crew members from the stern of the Fort Mercer could, they would jump off the Fort Mercer and hopefully land in the water near the net, so they could grab the net and be pulled up by volunteering Coast Guard who were holding the net. So I guess you could kind of say they were fishing for the crewmen. At the almost the same time, a second ship, the Oshnet, a Coast Guard ongoing tug that was smaller and more maneuverable than the East Wind, pulled itself up to the side of the Fort Mercer stern. Now, the Fort Mercer was a very big ship, and the Oshnet was pretty small, so all the crew on the Oshnet were all in fear of what if a wave hit our ship and propelled us into the Fort Mercer, which could very well have happened, looking at the circumstances. When the Oshnet came, they made a different, better plan so that the Oshnet would be the one rescuing the crew members on the Fort Mercer. Since the Oshnet was more maneuverable and could get closer to the Fort Mercer, you can't really blame them, but the crew members on the Fort Mercer stern were very afraid of jumping. And you can't blame them. The water is reaching up to 50 feet high, and hails rain everywhere. I mean, the average person would be scared. The first man to jump overshot it by a lot and went flying over the ship. Thankfully, one crewman on the Oshnet was very prepared and grabbed the man's arm mid-flight over the Oshnet. It almost pulled the man over the railing. If thankfully two men hadn't come and grabbed onto that man, then to pull the man up who went flying over the Oshnet, they needed three more people to come and help those people pull that one guy up who almost flew over the railing, trying to help the last guy who was in the water currently. The people on the Oshnet, though, were getting impatient that the other crewmen weren't jumping, so actually, when the wave lifted the Oshnet up closer to the side of the Fort Mercer stern, two crewmen from the Oshnet actually grabbed two people off of the Fort Mercer and dragged them down onto the ship. Once the men on the Oshnet grabbed the men and yanked them down back to the Oshnet, most of the crew members felt very safe about jumping, since they saw how easy it was for them to literally grab them and pull them back onto the ship. So on the first go around, because they had made two passes and then dumped off the crewmen on the first pass and on the second pass onto the East Wind. On the first pass, they received 5 men, and on the second, they received 13. Unfortunately, 13 men didn't feel comfortable about jumping, and they decided to take their chances on the boat, and hopefully they would make it back to shore. Eventually, a tugboat would come back for the stern of the Fort Mercer and drag the stern and the remaining 13 men back to shore, where the remaining 13 men were saved. So, this was the only mission rescue attempt that there was, that everybody was saved. La, 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 la.